You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 60. So for this week's episode, got quite a bit to go through. I'll cover a bit of the key bits from our announcements from CTIA. I won't be going through everything, as not all of it is totally relevant, but so if there's other stuff you want to hear about, definitely check out the website. Otherwise, I'll have an app review, a TV show review, and then I'll round it out with the Star Wars profile. So I will jump right into it. This week's theme is normal balance. So what that is basically an accounting classification used in double entry bookkeeping. Essentially, it tells you or gives you the indication of what the normal credit and debit balance is for each account. So an account's normal debit balance would be on the left if they're on the left side of the equation, and it would be on the right if they're on the right side of the equation. So for example, or for two simple examples, the cash normal balance is a debit balance because it is on the left side of the accounting equation. And accounts payable, normal balance is a credit because it is on the right side of the accounting equation. So with that being said, I'll jump right into the tech news. This week, Android Pay has now added Chase Bank's Visa credit cards to its approved cards. So you can now add that there. They've also added Walgreens rewards as well as Uber and Groupon. So you can now, Walgreens and Uber rewards. So look out for that. And then Groupon will be adding mobile payments in Chrome coming soon. So if you want to pay for your purchase in your mobile browser, that'll soon be an option. As far as some device announcements, Samsung has announced the Galaxy Folder 2. This is a flip phone style smartphone that does run Android. It comes with a 3.8-inch display, a Qualcomm Snapdragon 425 processor, 2 GB of RAM, an 8-megapixel rear camera, 5-megapixel front camera, a 1950 mAh battery, runs Android 6.0.1, and has 16 GB of storage, which can be expanded to up to 128 GB. So definitely not necessarily a high-end device, but a powerful enough device is in the flip phone form factor. Otherwise, though, LG has finally unveiled the V20. It's the first Android smartphone running Android version 7 Nougat, or the first new smartphone of the year running Android 7. It comes with a Snapdragon 820 quad-core processor, a 5.7-inch display, 64 GB of storage, which can be expanded up to 2 TB by a micro SD card. It comes with 4 GB of RAM, a 16-megapixel main rear camera with an 8-megapixel second rear camera for expanded photo-taking abilities, a 5-megapixel front camera, and a 5-megapixel second wide-angle camera, so it comes with dual front and rear cameras. 32-bit quad DAC, so that's for improved audio sound. There was a lot more technical stuff that they talked about, but in short, your sound on an LG V20 will be really, really good. It also comes with a 3200 milliamp hour removable battery, so they're going back to that, the removable battery option, so if you want to buy multiple ones, you can do that. It also offers USB-C charging with quick charge, so that is now a standard feature there. So definitely a device worth purchasing. It's expected to release by the end of the September 2016, they said, end of Q3, so look out for that coming to most major carriers. At least in the United States, there was a schedule for worldwide rollout as well, but I did not make note of that. This week, Apple also had their 2016 keynote, so all sorts of iPhone announcements there. A couple of side announcements, though. Super Mario Run by Nintendo will be coming to iOS by the end of the year, so look out for that. It's the official Super Mario Brothers game. It's an endless runner style themed with Super Mario Brothers. And then it's not going to be pay to play. It's actually going to just be the one-time charge. You buy the game and you can play it as much as you want. They also announced the new refreshed Apple Watch. It's now officially or more swim-proof, so water is drained out via the speaker to provide extra seals around the rest of the watch, so it is a lot smoother and better. And then it also comes as an improvement to last year's model. It comes with built-in GPS. And then the watch itself, it will now have a new app called Pokemon Go. So this will be a watch-based app to help you basically play Pokemon Go, find new Pokemons in your area and that sort of thing. That's basically that all there was for that. They also announced a few updates to iWorks and things like that, but not really mobile. Or I mean, some of it was mobile related, but I didn't really have a chance to pay too much attention there. As far as iPhone 7 and 7 Plus announcements, the enclosure for both phones is now water and dust. Or I'm sure the 7 Plus is water and dust resistance. I'm not sure how they explain the 7, but both have now better seals and that sort of thing. They also come with a 12 megapixel camera with optical image stabilization with an aperture of f1.8, which basically allows for 50% more light. And it also now has a flicker sensor to compensate for flickering light, and has a wider color gamut, so it allows for more color to come in. Both iPhones now come with stereo speakers, one on top and one on the bottom. They are also doing away with the headphones port, which is a bit of a mixed bag of an update. As far as standard, so basically instead of the 3.5mm jack, you'll now plug in your new Apple headphones via the Lightning port. They will give you a headphones adapter in with your purchase, so it's basically a 3.5mm plug to Lightning cable connector, so you can plug in existing headphones or any other kind of headphones if you want the standard kind. If you do not want to go with the Lightning port version or the Bluetooth version. But they are also selling a, I think they're the Apple AirBuds. Basically, those are individual left and right ear headphones that work with their own chip to connect to your iPhone to allow for media playback and audio to stream through those headphones. They're basically, if you've seen them, I think Motorola and a few other companies have offered the that style of headphones. I haven't bought them myself just because I know I'll lose them. So I've gone with the standard Bluetooth headphones with a cable, and I've been very happy with them. The Apple versions, though, will cost you about $160. I think it was like $159.99. So in the standard range of high-quality headphones. The only thing that I really didn't like was that they only have a 5-hour battery life. So I know I have two pairs of Bluetooth headphones. One are the Samsung Level U's. Those last about 9 to 10 hours. I have another off-brand one that lasts about, I want to say 7 to 8 hours, depending on use. Maybe up to even 8.5 to 9 hours. But normal use, I say 7 to 8 hours. So it's kind of on the low end as far as the Apple ones go. Both iPhones are also going to be coming with iOS 10, and the home button has been updated with a new more solid state support. So it is, and it also is pressure sensitive, so more interactions there. The iPhone 7 Plus has a slightly better camera, though. It's a dual camera with longer zoom, and also and the device itself also offers a better battery life because it is a little bit bigger. The iPhone 7 is at 5.5 inches, I believe, and the iPhone 7 regular is a 4.7. Both devices are coming in 32, 128, and 256 gigabytes of storage models, so no more 16 gigs, so you have enough space there. I know for me, looking into new devices myself, I'm probably going to go with a 64 gigabyte model just for that extra space, because newer versions of operating systems do take more space, so 32 is a bit on the low end, but since, at least on the Android side, because they're coming with expandable storage options, that 32 is not a big deal, but I would rather not have to worry about setting the option of storing to external storage. So it all depends. It depends on how much media you consume and how much you need to store on your device itself. But that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump right into this week's app review. And this is on the Android side and offers the ability to customize your home screen in a way to that assumes that you have a replacement launcher on your Android device. The app itself is called Iconstructor. So what this does, it allows you to create your own icon packs using your built-in icons or using installed icon packs on your device. So the prerequisite here is to have a custom launcher installed on your Android device. So it's launchers like Action Launcher, Nova Launcher, Go Launcher, or anything like that where they support installing icon packs. So once you've done that and you've installed Icon Structure, you'll open the app, you'll start creating a new icon set, either just by pressing the plus sign or loading an existing icon pack and going from there. And what this will allow you to do is do things like set gradients on your icons, use default colors. Let's say you want to set the same color for all your icons, or you want to set the gradient using the icon's own color scheme, you can do that. Or you can set a specific style, like let's say you want a ring around all your icons, or you want a square rectangle around your icons, or sorry, behind your icons, you can do that. And then you can do various overlays. So let's say you want a black square, or let's say you want a black square behind your icons with a color gradient, then you can do that. So you can, let's say you use a Hangouts green gradient to black, and then the behind it you have, let's say, the black icon. It'll look like the icon is fading into that background. So you can do things like that, whatever suits your needs. And then you can also do things like have a material lighting option. You can have a transparent icon, so you can have a solid round circle and then make the icon itself transparent so it looks like it's coming through that circle. And you can do various things like that. Then you can export it and apply it to whichever icons you want. So if you only want to one or two icons, you can do that. Or if you wanted to apply it to all icons or all apps that you have installed, you can do that. And you install it, apply it using your custom launcher, and you're all set. So I'll have a link in the show notes for the video preview of it, so you guys can take a look at it, see how it works, see how I apply it and all that. But it's definitely an app worth checking out, and it is definitely it's a little bit detailed, but it is definitely a good way to customize your home screen. So with that being said, I'll jump right into this week's entertainment news and what I watch. Only a little bit going on here. So as far as the news goes, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is set to return on September 20th and will start right after the Sokovia Accords that we saw take place in Captain America Civil War. And it will be the re-legitimizing, we'll see that S.H.I.E.L.D. has now been re-legitimized, so it is now official agency again with the defeat of Hydra and the repercussions there. We have a new unknown director, and Coulson is now back out in the field. As far as what I watched, aside from a lot of Stargate SG-1, which I'll get into, I had a chance to watch Fear the Walking Dead Season 2, Episode 10, Do Not Disturb. So overall, it's beginning to be a pretty good show, and I'm actually finding that I'm enjoying, I forget what the former drug addict's name is, but I'm enjoying his part of the show quite a bit. The rest of the family is actually coming up slowly, so I'm liking them more and more, but it's a little bit slow. But overall, I've liked his storyline. He's out and about. He's learning a lot about the new world. He's experimenting, trying to figure out how to survive. And it seems like he's adjusting well more than everybody else, just because he's not necessarily doing what he needs to do, but he's taking the situation and saying, this is how it is right now, and how can we adjust and live accordingly. So I'm definitely recommending Season 2. You may need Season 1 just as a bit of background for all the characters, but if you start with Season 2, I don't think you're going to be losing too much. So with that, I'll jump into this week's TV show review. So I have recently started rewatching Stargate SG-1. I wanted to watch the show in order from Seasons 1 through 8. I rewatched 9 and 10, I think, I want to say maybe a year or two ago, maybe a year and a half ago, just so I could get watch the Ori timeline in order. But I know I never watched the original cast and the seasons 1 through 8 in order, so I have no real time frame for how any of the events happen, aside from the changes in hairstyle and things like that. So watching them in order has given me more perspective on when all the events happen. I've realized that a lot of those things I remember are early on in the show, so it's pretty good to see how the natural progression of everything. So for this particular review, I wanted to talk about Season 2, Episode 15, The Fifth Ray. So I want to say this is probably the pivotal role in the show, because, or which I'll get to in a second, or I'll start it off right now. It's pivotal to me because by now we learn about more races. We have the introduction of the Tok'ra. So I'll talk about the episode and a little bit about why this is pivotal. So the episode originally aired in the United States on December 16th, 1998, with approximate runtime of 44 minutes. A summary of the episode is Colonel Jack O'Neill accidentally encounters a machine which downloads an entire ancient database into his mind and causes his brain activity to increase. He begins to be unable to speak English, but only in a completely new language, ancient. There is nothing the team can do to prevent the transformation, so O'Neill is forced to go his own way to save himself. So, overall, this I actually really enjoyed rewatching this episode now. It is pivotal for me because we do get an introduction to an Asgard homeworld. It is also the first mention of the Ancients, the race who built the Stargates and the related network, so we finally learn a little bit about more about the actual Stargate network, and rather than the ghouls having used them for their transportation, we learn where the Stargates themselves came from. We actually also learn a little bit of extra technology, in that using with extra energy, 8 chevrons can actually be dialed into network into another galaxy. So rather than just being able to transfer from within the home galaxy and then close enough planets, you can go further and travel to other areas in the universe. We also learned that Ancients use base 8 math. So it's a whole nother level of math and useful in higher level physics and mathematics and calculations and all of that. But I also like it because it shows that Colonel Jack O'Neill is actually a good diplomat. He's reasonable, fair, even though he might not necessarily play understand everything that's going on. He will hear people out. He will be diplomatic. He will figure out a way to work with other races. He's not judgmental. He doesn't freak out. He's not one of those people to shoot first and ask questions later. And if he's not threatened, he doesn't see other non-human entities as threats. He wants to develop that relationship and be diplomatic about it. So from here on out, I think this is where the series takes a turn and gets for the better. So I'm still watching the show, and I've just started up on season 3. So I'm excited to see where the rest of the season fits into place. So with that, I will jump right into the Star Wars profile. For this week's profile, I wanted to talk, based on the normal balance and double entry bookkeeping, I wanted to talk about the double-bladed lightsaber. So in the Star Wars universe, this is also known as a saber staff, and it emits blades from both sides of the hilt. There's a couple of different models. There's a single model that we see Darth Maul use, but also does work by itself. I think we don't see that in the movie, but in the Phantom Menace, but in the Clone Wars, we do see it broken in half and still work. They work independently of each other. We also see a version used by Asajj Ventress, who uses her individual blades or lightsabers to hook together to create one blade. The blade colors come in red, blue, and green. Traditionally, red is used by the Sith, while blue and green is used by the Jedi. This particular lightsaber we first see being used by Darth Maul in The Phantom Menace, but it was also used by Jedi Master Pong Krell during the Clone Wars. I forgot his race, but he's the same race as Dexter Jetster that we meet as Obi-Wan's friend in Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. But Pong Krell is able to use 2 double-bladed lightsabers at the same time because he has, I think, 4 arms, so it works out perfectly for his abilities. But overall, it's a pretty good lightsaber. I did enjoy using it in Knights of the Old Republic, so the only issue, I think, at least in that game, was that there is a trade-off because it does require 2 hands to use. And while it has trade-offs as far as strength, I think there's other drawbacks as well. I forget offhand, but overall, it is a pretty cool weapon, and it can be used by Jedi and Sith alike. So that is all for this particular episode of Life of an Accounting Droid. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at patelN01. If you are all links to past episodes, subscription links on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, RSS, and all of that can be found at patelN01.com. If you like this show and more shows from the Geek.io Network, you can visit geek-io.net. Both websites have the Patreon link, so you can help support the show, get more content, expand the network itself to get additional shows and con coverage and all of that great stuff, so look out for that. And then also, if you like the episode, be sure to rate us on iTunes and give us a thumbs up in Google Play. And of course, if you want to subscribe to the YouTube channel for all the screencasts, and visit youtube.com/patelN01. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.